Pray with me just for a second. Father God, in the name of Jesus, as a group of believers, we bind together, Lord, right now. We thank you that we're of one mind and one spirit, and we're in one body, and you are the head thereof. Therefore, we can be in a place and a flow, or in perfect harmony. We can work together, yielding to your spirit, allowing you to impart wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to bring heaven to earth. Father, right now we ask that you just help each one of us to have boldness in you. You said the righteous would wax bold as a lion. Well, our righteousness is not of ourselves. Our righteousness is of your Son, Jesus Christ. He was made sin that we could become righteous. So help us to wax bold as a lion and help us to roar out your will and your plan. Help us boldly speak what your Spirit is revealing to each one of us, and let us see our role therein, and let us move forward for your glory, Father. Anything that would hinder, anything that would dampen, anything that would be a distraction, we bind it right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for what's going to be said, received, and motivated out of this service. In Jesus' name we all say, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Open up your Bibles, if you would. We'll use this for a text. Ezekiel chapter 37, very familiar verses of Scripture. Ezekiel chapter 37. I didn't understand. When I first got saved and then the Lord put me in the place of Sunday school teacher, I made it so hard, I know I did, on our pastor. Because I didn't understand the difference between preaching and teaching. And if I could go back and do all that over, I would do a lot of things differently, but I can't. But there's, you know, there's times of teaching, there's a time of preaching, and so preaching is just different. And so anyway, Ezekiel chapter 37, verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. The prophet Ezekiel here, notice what he says. He says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, now mark this down in your mind's eye, hide it on the table of your heart. And again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones. Prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and will put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. Verse number 7. So I, Ezekiel here, he prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld it, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Verse 9. Then said he unto me, said the Lord unto to Ezekiel, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. Verse 10. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into me, and they lived, and they stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. Brother Whitby, would you pray? Yes. Yes. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much, Brother Whitby. Hallelujah. So, we don't have time to get into the teaching aspect of this and look at how God is prophesying about Israel and in Judah and taking and putting back together what man had split up because of disobedience. I mean, there's a great, wonderful, in-depth teaching there, but we don't have time for that. What I want to do, I want to use that as a foundational text for us to see, because I heard in the Spirit, God asked very clearly, He said, will you let my Spirit blow? Will you let my Spirit blow? Everywhere you see the wind in the Old Testament and the New Testament, if you will look at it closely, it's going to have a connotation either being the wind of God or being the wind of the devil. And in the New Testament, the Greek word is pneuma. It's in there about 385 times. The Old Testament, it's ruach. Off the top of my head, I don't remember how many times it is in the Old Testament, but it's in there a bunch. But when you see these words, it's talking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. When God took and breathed His Spirit into man, and man become a living soul, that was the Holy Spirit being imparted. So the question that the Lord is asking tonight, He said, will you let my Spirit breathe on every area of your life, that thus you can be a vessel that I can breathe out of your life onto other situations and circumstances that's dead, that has no hope? Now, can you imagine this vision here? God, now this isn't something that's literally happening. This is happening in the Spirit. And God has opened up Ezekiel, the prophet's eyes, and he's literally looking, and he's seeing God's people the way God sees it. And he's seeing them that as a nation and as all the blessings and the promises of God that they're supposed to be walking in, they're not. They're dead. They're dead. They've lost where they're supposed to be. They got carried off to Babylon. They got carried off into captivity, and they were just in a mess. And that's where we're at today. There's all type of people that you and I know and we love, and our heart breaks for them. They're carried off into captivity. Their life is just scattered all over the world. They're running here and they're running there. They have no focus. They have no understanding of what God wants to do in their life and through their life. And so tonight, you and I need to come to the place where we understand that God has gave you the power, He's gave me the power to decree the Word of God. And Job 22:28, would you put that up there, Brother Ryan? I believe that's right. Job 22:28, maybe. Is that right, Kenneth? Thou shalt decree a thing. Is that right? It may not be right, Ryan. I don't know. Thou shalt decree a thing. Yes. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. Thou shalt decree a thing. Now, we can't just go out here and pull things out of the air, but when we got the Word of God to stand on, that's what it's talking about. We see what God is wanting to do in our life, what He's wanting to do in our family's life, what He's wanting to do in your sphere, your realm of authority. He wants you to decree a thing. He wants you to speak what God says about it. The devil's saying a lot of things. The devil says, I'm going to raise up gambling. I'm going to raise up this, and I'm going to raise up that. I'm going to raise up everything that's full of darkness. But God wants us to bring light. Light on things. And so the light we know is the Word of God, is Jesus Christ. Well, He's in you. He's in me. And we're to be in a place and a position where we see dead things, and we say, God, what do you want me to do about it? You know, this morning I just felt such an urgency in my spirit. God is, He is almost to the point of anger because He's tired of us saying, God, I want you to do this and I want you to do that. He's wanting you and I to do something. He's wanting us to go in the anointing. He's wanting us to go in the call. He's wanting us to go. Jesus, He didn't say, come to me and sit down. He said, come unto me, all you that, and I'll give you rest. But then He said, I want you to go. Right? He said, I want you to go. We got to go somewhere. We got to do some things. And so tonight, Ezekiel was looking and he saw all this dead area. And God told him exactly what to do. And so that's what the Lord is wanting to do in our life. He's wanting us to see by the Spirit of God everything that's dead, everything that's scattered, everything that looks like it has no hope. And He wants us to hear from heaven and He wants us to speak over it. Amen? Now, Brother Ryan, put 1 Corinthians 14:1 up there. We need to understand that we're to covet the ability by the Spirit of God to prophesy what God wants to change it. Notice what the Word of God says. Follow after charity. That's a really a weak word. The word is to run. to pursue with everything in you after charity, after the love of God. He said, I want you to desire my spiritual gifts. But he said, but rather, what I want you to do, that you may prophesy. See, we've built this thing up and we've got it where people are afraid to say anything because they're afraid they're liable to say something wrong. We're human. We're liable to make a mistake. But God can, even in our mistake, he can use it for his glory and he can use it to make things right. So I encourage you, when you feel the Spirit of God to start stirring in you and you feel the urgency to say something, speak it out by faith. Speak it out by faith, because Ezekiel, here he was. Can you imagine what he's thinking as he looks over this valley and he sees all of this dead situation, all of this scattered situation, and God says, I want you to speak over it. I want you to speak my will over it. I want you to speak my plan over it. See, but if I just sit down here and say, boy, there's a lot of people out there that don't know Jesus. Too bad. But if I love the Lord like we were singing about, and let his love be in me, I'm going to say, oh, Lord, what can I speak over their life? What can I say that will change their situation? See, we've got to see that God said through, in the book of Proverbs, he said, death and life is in the power of your tongue. In my tongue, we can either speak life or we can speak death. The way we speak death a lot of times is we just don't say nothing. See, there's sins of omission as well as sins of commission. And so we need to figure out what God is wanting to say through us, what he's wanting to do through us, and see that we can, by the Spirit of God, we can change some things. Now, let's go to John chapter 3. I want to build your faith. I want you to be loose tonight to be able to do whatever God would have you to do. But you know these scriptures very well, but it's not what we know, it's what we put to practice. In John chapter 3, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and so I know you know this. We won't take time to read all of this. But Jesus tells him that a man, a woman, a boy or girl, they have to be born again to be able to see the kingdom of God. And he explains to Nicodemus how you get born again. But for sake of time, let's start in verse number 5, John 3 and 5. Jesus, talking to Nicodemus, he says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man, a woman, a boy, or girl, be born of water and of the Spirit, he or she cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee that you must be born again. Now, he tells us about the Spirit. Stay with me. Verse number 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. See, the Brother Corey was talking about the preacher this morning, Solomon. In Ecclesiastes 11:5, it talks about how can you know the things of the Spirit? You can't unless you have the Spirit. Well, when you got born again, you got born of the Spirit of God, then you could start understanding the things of the Spirit. And the Spirit is like a wind. You and I, we can't see the wind, but we see the effects of it. Right? A lot of times we see people run, we see them shout, we see them fall, we see them different things. When the Holy Spirit comes on them, we can't see the Holy Spirit, but we see the effects thereof. Well, here Ezekiel is, he's looking and he sees the effects of death. He sees the effects of what the devil is doing. But all of a sudden, when God tells him what to say, and he says it in faith, things start happening. Life comes. That looks like it has no hope, no possibility of coming together. All of a sudden, no matter how far it's scattered out, it comes together. You and I tonight, God wants us to be in the place and the position where we see, because we've been born again, born of the Spirit of God, that our spirit bears witness with us because we know the Holy Spirit, that we know that we are a son, a daughter of God because of that witness, that bearing of the witness in your spirit. And so, that means because you're born again, you have the ability then to hear what God is wanting to say about the situation. The devil never shuts up about the situation. He shows us all of our lack. He tells us all of our weaknesses. He keeps talking about this. And if we're not careful, we'll entertain that. We'll receive that. And we'll allow that to overwhelm us. I've had him to just tell me all the reasons why this person couldn't get saved. Have you heard that? But he's a liar. Because Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. So it doesn't matter where that lost person is. It doesn't matter how scattered their life is, how dead it looks. The Word of God can bring life to them when the words are anointed, when they're of God. Amen? And tonight, I want you to see that you are a vessel of God. You're born of God, and you have the ability to speak what God would have you to speak. But you've got to have confidence in who you are. It's not who you are, but it's who you've been born by. Who you serve. Amen? Your confidence is in the one who you know is your Lord and your Master. And so by grace tonight, you can say, God, what would you have me to speak? What would you have me to say? What would you have me to bring from heaven to earth? Put Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 21, brother. There is a verse here that you need to... The last part of the verse, you need to write it on the table of your heart, because it's what God's wanting you to bring to earth. You're to bring heaven to earth. Look at this verse. This is God promising the children of Israel, and how much better is it today, because we're the new Israel, we're in of New Jerusalem, for that your days may be multiplied and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware to your fathers to give them, now notice this, as the days of heaven upon the earth. See, God's got a plan in heaven. Jesus said, I look into heaven, I see what the Father's doing, and I do it here on earth. Jesus said, I look and I listen what the Father's saying, and I speak it out, and it comes to pass. Heaven comes to earth. God's not willing that any of these lost loved ones perish. He wants them to be saved. He wants them to be delivered. But you've got to stand in the gap and fight for them. Amen? You've got to say, God, what do you want me to do? How could I be used by you to prophesy life, to speak life? I've heard so many people, they'll say, boy, he's just like his daddy. He's just like his uncle. He's just like this. He's just like that. And they meet in a derogatory sense. They say, boy, he's doing the same thing that they used to do. What are you doing? You're prophesying words of the devil over them. You're putting them in a box. You're limiting. No, what we say is, God, this is what I'm seeing in the natural. I want to see what you see. And then you give me the words from heaven to speak over them. You tell me your gifting and your calling on their life. You give me the words to prophesy. You realize that people don't even know who they are until they meet Jesus? They don't. But think about it. You didn't know who you were. You didn't know that you was an overcomer. You didn't know that you could be saved by grace. You didn't know that you could come out of all the bondages and the prisons of this world and by grace walk in victory and freedom. You didn't know that. But you got to know it as you progressively walk closer with the Lord. Amen? And you started saying what Jesus said. Oh, I am an overcomer. I have victory over this. Amen? And it started freeing up other areas in your life. So we've got to learn to stop saying what we see and what we feel and start saying, thus saith the Lord, which scares me. Because I am so afraid of making a mistake. But I couldn't get past this all day long. This has just been building and building and building. And I'm going to say it, and I'm scared that This is what we've got to see. We've got to see that God is wanting. We're 2 years into this thing, and it's time. It's time for us to do what God told us to do, to be what God called us to be. We've got to get out into this community. And we checked about this tent up here. It didn't exactly work out like I thought. So I'll talk to you about that. But that didn't work out. That's okay. God's got other ways of doing things, and we're not going to put Him in a box. But we're going to do what God wants. Amen. And so tonight, I want you tonight to be so stirred on the inside that you have a positive attitude of the possibilities of God. Jesus said, if you'll believe, all things are possible. Amen? But if you notice, Jesus also said in Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, So what you believe is going to come out. So we've got to say what God says, okay? Yes. Now let's look at a scripture that ought to excite you so much. The Song of Solomon, chapter 4. Song of Solomon, chapter 4. Chapter 4 is dealing with God's church. Say, that's me. Now, in chapter 4, it's about His grace working in your life and my life. But notice this starting in verse 15. The last two verses. Chapter 4, verse 15. A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. Now, this is, we don't have time to break all this down, but this is the spouse. This is God's church. That's you and I, amen, the bride of Christ. And look what He says in verse 16. This is what you are to do, what I'm to do. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, the south wind. Blow upon my garden. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. In other words, blow into my garden. Stir up the winds. In the book of Revelation, there's four winds. And when those four winds start moving, that's when things change. Amen? And we've got to see that just as Ezekiel, as he prophesied, and when he prophesied, a great wind blew over those dead bones and they come together. The Holy Spirit took the words, in other words, and breathed them into the people. That's what we've got to see, that God wants us to know that we're His garden. You're the garden of the Lord, and He wants you to speak over your life, over your family's life, over this church, over this community. Speak the words that causes Him to have a place to come and to eat, come to fellowship. That's what He's saying. You have that ability. And so what we say is, north wind, you blow. South wind, you blow. In other words, the wind of change. The wind that would bring in the growth, that would bring in the latter-day rain, the wind that would bring what God is destined. Show me how to speak it out and how to command it. You and I are to command a blessing. If we don't do it, who's going to do it? The devil's out there got plenty of people to bring curses. But you and I, we have the ability to bring blessing. Amen? Now, I want us to see how powerful the wind of God is. Okay? Go with me to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 8, verse number 1. We're just going to go through Scripture. I'm going to build your faith to see the power of God's wind where you can allow it to change some things in your life, in your family, in your community. Now, this is right after God had judged the earth. Genesis 8 and 1. And God remembered Noah. Aren't you glad that Noah was in the ark? Who built the ark? Jesus said in Matthew 24, 37 and 38, that it, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. How many of us are building our ark? See, there is an ark of the last days. Noah means rest. Noah found, Genesis 6, 8, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. When you find grace, you want to build your ark. Amen. In other words, the place of protection, the place of residence, you and the Lord. And here Noah is, and God remembers Noah. God remembers rest. And he said, and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark, God made a what? Made a wind, right? To pass over the earth, and the waters they assaged, they dissipated. Now think about this. Here's the flood waters. It had destroyed everything that was outside of the ark. But yet, when the time come, God breathed on those waters and they abated. Now tonight, we know what the Bible says. The Bible says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will lift up a standard, Jesus Christ. So when there's areas where the devil comes in and he's trying to take away the life of people, the truth of people, the blessings of people, you and I, we need to learn how to what? To do like what God did. Speak command the wind of the Spirit of God to cause those floodwaters to abate, to dissipate, and to bring them up, because we're putting them in the ark. Amen? All right. Let's go to Exodus then. That didn't excite you too much. Let's see if we can get you geared up here. Exodus chapter 10. Now here in Exodus chapter 10, God's people are still in Egypt, and they're in a place of bondage. And so God, He judges Egypt, and He brings the locusts. But how did the locusts come? They come by the wind. They come by the wind. Look at verse number 12, Exodus 10 and 12. And the Lord stretched, the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come up upon the land of Egypt and may eat every herb of the land, even all that the hail hath left. And Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind. Mark it down. He brought an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locust. So here God is bringing judgment upon Egypt because they won't let God's people go. But I'm here to show you that the wind is what brought the judgment. And it's what brought it upon those who were trying to hold God's people. So tonight, you and I, we need to be in the place and the position. Lord, show me that addicting spirit that is working in my lost loved one, that's working in my family member, that's working in my community. What is it? What is it? And give me the word to speak that will bring the Bible says you reap what you sow. And so the enemy's trying to steal, kill, and destroy them. Show me how I can speak words that will dissolve them, that will take them out of, I'm talking about the evil spirits, the lies of the devil, well, that will take them out of my family, out of my friends, out of my community. What's the word? God has a word, a wind, that will blow and will devour the devourer. Amen? That excites me. That encourages me tonight. I need to know that God is looking and He's going to judge everything that the devil's doing to hurt your family, my family, to hurt God's children. We're all God's children. Amen? But it comes by the wind of God. It comes because somebody done what God said. Moses had to what? He had to stretch forth his hand. God's asking you and I tonight, will we put our hand to the plow? Come on, Luke 9:62. Jesus said, no man, no woman, no boy, no girl that puts their hand to the plow is worthy of the kingdom if they're looking back behind. We've got to see that we've got our hand put to the work of God. And we can't look at anything else. Amen? All right. Let's see. Go over to the 14th chapter of this book of Exodus. Do you realize that the wind of God is what opened up the Red Sea and brought the children of Israel out? So the wind of God can bring your family, my family, out. Amen? Look at this. For sake of time, Exodus 14:19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. See, God's always got your back. Verse 20. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them. Notice this. But it gave light to these. It gave light to God's children. Amen. So that one came not near the other all the night. Verse 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back, how? By a strong east wind all the night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Now think about this. Here's God's people, 2.5-3 million people. They're going to have to come out of here, and to be able to come up, that number of people to cross this area in that time, this has got to be at least a mile wide. Now you're talking about a miracle. Can you see by the Spirit, can you see that Red Sea rolled back? And it says that as it was rolled back, the waters, King James said it was congealed. In other words, they were frozen, and as they walked by, they could see all the water life. All in that just stopped. See, God can stop everything, but it's still alive. It's not hurt. And you can walk through, and you can go right through the things that is scary and frightful to everyone else, but you can be warned by the glow of the light of the Lord. Amen? Now think about this. They're walking through this because why? Because somebody done what God said. Tonight, you and I, all we have to do is say, God, I may not understand it, but I'll do it. I'll do what you're asking me to do. And if you'll be faithful, if I'll be faithful, God will take care of the rest. Amen? Now notice this. It says, verse 22, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning was that the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and he troubled the host of the Egyptians. And he took off their chariot wheels, and they drave them heavily. So the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel. Why? For the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And Moses said, now this is where it gets interesting again, verse 26. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand over the sea, that the waters may come up again upon the Egyptians and upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea. And look at verse 28. And the waters returned. Now, God done it, but how did he do it? He done it through Moses. He done it through a man, through a vessel. God can't work in this earth unless you allow him to. He gave the earth to you. He gave it to Adam, and Adam gave it to the devil. Jesus got it back, and now he gave it to us. So you've got to see your place and your position. You have a greater authority than you've ever dreamed of. Because of the grace of God, you have the ability to command God's will. You have the ability to see people come out of Egypt and then close the waters over the very thing that had them in bondage, where it's dead to them forever. Now think about that just for a minute. You have the ability, to, as God gives you unction, to speak and see somebody come out of bondage and then see the bondage destroyed by the very same thing that delivered them. See, we're living way below our means. We're saying, God, come on, break this addiction. Break this lust. Break these evil spirits that's working. And God's saying, I gave you. I gave you the power to do it. You do it. See, we're going to give an account before God. We're going to stand before him. And he's going to show you and I everything that he gave us. And we're going to have to give an account of how we used it. And that's not to browbeat us or discourage us. That's to excite us, because in your arsenal is all the things for success. You're set up for success. You can't fail. Amen? You cannot fail tonight. All right. Go with me to 1 Kings. This has got to be so real to you that you can't hardly stand it. Here in 1 Kings, we don't have a lot of time, but we'll. I want you to see. This is here. Elijah is in a situation where, look what he tells him. Let's just read this. 1 Kings 17:1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, the Lord God of Israel liveth. It's time you and I tell the world that God's alive and well and on the throne. Yep. They want us to sit down and shut up. They don't want us to make noise, but it's all right for them to make noise. It's all right for them to talk about what they want and their rights, but you and I don't have any rights. Wrong. We've got all the legal right because we're children of the King. Amen? Amen. The Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. He says, these 3 years shall not be dew nor rain. These years, pardon me, but according to my word. Elijah says, in other words, what's going to happen is going to be what I say. because he was God's prophet in the land at that time. Desired to prophesy. Coveted. Amen? If we don't like a situation, let's change it. We're not getting on a tangent. We're getting on the will of God. Amen? We're saying what he would have us to say. So he says, it's not going to rain. And so you know the story. It didn't rain for 3.5 years. 3.5 years. And if you understand, those 3.5 years is the type of the 3.5 years of the 42 months of the tribulation period. And if we'll understand what Elijah did there, we can understand what's going to happen very, very soon. But after the 3.5 years, then he what? Let's look. Go to chapter 18. Verse number 1. First Kings 18:1. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year. Now, so we know that prophetically, we know that it's 3.5. But in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will what? I will send rain upon the earth. Now I want you to see, Ahab hates God. Ahab especially hates Elijah, because Elijah is the closest thing he can get to God. And he hates the words that he speaks. You and I, sometimes we're going to have to stand up in the face of things that don't like us. But we're going to have to stand there and say, no, God has sent me. And because God sent me, I can stand. There's a reason for it. And God wants to change. He wants to show the world that he is God. Amen? That he's on the throne. The devil's not on the throne. The devil doesn't have a throne. The book of Revelation tells us he has a seat in the church at Pergamos. But he doesn't have a throne. Another study for another time. Okay. Now notice this. It says, drop down to verse 19. Now therefore, send and gather. This is what God's command through Elijah. Gather to me all of Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people, and he said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered not a word. That's what we're at right now. God's people have put their hand over their mouth. Because so many people are seeing what the devil's doing. And they're being deceived by these false signs and lying wonders. And they're going, well, I don't know if that's God or not. I'm just not going to say nothing. You and I, we're going to have to stand up and say what's God and what's not. We're going to have to prophesy. We're going to have to speak the truth. Amen? So, make a long story short, Elijah, he shows them who's God. He said, how long are you going to halt? How long are you going to jump between God and the world? That's where people are at right now. And so he showed them God. And when he showed them God, and they destroyed the false altar, and he built back up the altar of God, then God showed up with the rain. The latter day rain. That's the rain that's going to bring in the harvest. That's going to bring all the backsliders back. That's going to bring those who have never been touched by the Spirit of God. It's going to bring them to salvation, the Spirit of God. But we've got to stand up and tear down the false altars. We've got to show them what's the devil and show them that God is greater, that God is love, God is all-powerful, and God wants to bless them and help them. Amen? But God is looking for a man, a woman, a boy, a girl to stand up and say what's right and to reveal what's wrong. We have to do it. Now, after he does that, look what happens. We don't have time. This is, I wish we did. But in verse number 41, Elijah goes and he prays. And it says, Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up and eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. Now, there was nothing in the natural. But in the spirit, Elijah was hearing the storm clouds. He was hearing the thunder. He was seeing the clouds. He was feeling the wind blow. Amen? You and I may look like there's nothing happening in our family. There's nothing happening in this community. But there is. There is. There's something happening. Because why? Because you have been praying a fervent prayer. You're a righteous person. That's why James talks about Elijah. He said the fervent prayer of a righteous man, woman, boy, girl, what? That means it goes forward in power. Come on, your prayers are there and they're changing situations and circumstances. You've got to believe it, amen? But you've got to start saying what God's saying. God says there is an abundance sound of rain. Rain is a symbolic fall of the Holy Ghost. Tonight you and I can do nothing unless the Holy Spirit falls. But if you and I will prophesy and we'll say the Spirit of God is getting ready to fall in our life. The Spirit of God is getting ready to fall in our family's life. The Spirit of God is getting ready to fall in our community. If we'll say what God says, God can do some things. Amen? So he tells them what's going to happen. Now, it says in verse 42, so Ahab went up to eat and to drink. That's all the world's doing. Paul said if we eat and drink, because you got hope in this world, go ahead and eat and drink and be merry because tomorrow you're going to die. But we got something greater, amen? And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, that fruitful place, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and he put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go up now and look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. That is the fervent prayer of a righteous person. I'm going to keep praying. I don't see anything, but I'm going to keep praying. Because I know God hears my prayer. God hears your prayer. Look by the Spirit of God and see that in the spirit realm, there are bands. There are bands that the enemy has laid up. There are bands that he has put up against my children, against your loved ones. And when you speak, when you prophesy, those bands come down. When you pray, those bands are broken. Keep praying and look to me, saith God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He prayed seven times, and every one of those bands were broken. Hallelujah. They were broken, and when they were broken, the rain came. Amen? The rain, the Holy Spirit fell, and people got out of the drought. Come on, there was a drought. There was a dearth there. They had nothing to eat. They had nothing to drink. People out there, they're looking for something of God to eat or drink, and they can't find it. But you and I, we've got to pray the rain down. All right, stay with me. And it came to pass at the seventh time, verse 44, and it came to pass at the seventh time, he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. Now, I want you to think about this. This is an act of faith. The Ahab had killed Jezebel. They had killed all of these prophets of God, all of the people in the will and the plan of God. And he says, you go tell him that rain's coming. Now, that took faith. Because, see, Obadiah, he didn't want to go to Ahab and tell him that Elijah was here. We didn't take time to read it. Because he said, if I go and tell him that, he'll kill me. Because, said, all of a sudden, you'll disappear. And it came to pass, verse 45. That in the meanwhile that the heaven was black and the clouds, black with clouds, notice this, that the heaven was black with clouds and what? Wind. And there was a great rain. Ooh. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, verse 46, and the hand of the Lord. And every time you read the hand of the Lord was upon somebody, that's the Spirit of God. Amen? The Spirit of God was upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he ran before Ahab into the entrance of Jezreel. This is about 20 miles. But he couldn't do that in himself, but he'd done that because the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. The number 20 in Bible numbers means redemption. When the Spirit of God falls, the revelation of the redemption of Jesus becomes evident, and people get saved. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, my, 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 my. So remember the question that the Lord had for us. He said, will you let my spirit blow? And, of course, immediately we say, yes, Lord. But then when we understand that the way his spirit blows, we speak it out. It puts the emphasis back on ourselves. So, yes, we say, Lord, I'll let your spirit blow, but I recognize and realize you're going to give me the unction, but I've got to do the speaking. I've got to say what you'd say. And so tonight, it's not about you. It's about his will through you. It's not about me. It's about his will through me. Amen? It's about what he wants to do. Do you want to see a latter-day rain? Yes, you do. I know you do. But you've got to be in the place. I've got to be in a place where we tell people, we get them ready ahead of time. We'll get them in the place and the position to receive. Just think, God has entrusted you with the ability to speak for him. Next time the devil tells you that you're this, this, and this, say, I don't know about you, devil, but God said I can talk for him. God calls and he qualifies. Amen? You've been called and you've been qualified. I'll share this with you. I don't think Keller would mind. We was having home church. And the Spirit of God come on her. And for about 2.5 hours, there was just a flow of prophetic word. And it was a flow that was so real that some of the questions that we had, we got to ask God, and he answered those questions, and it kept us from making wrong decisions. I had my mind made up. I thought for sure I was supposed to go and be licensed with the Assembly of God, and that was the direction I was going to go. And we got to ask the Spirit of God, and he said no. And I thought, but where I'm at, this is what I need to do. But he said no. I said, okay. See, the Spirit of God wants to flow in your home every time you have a question. Every time you need direction, you need an answer. You don't have to go to man. Man may mess up. The Spirit of God will never mess up. And he talks to each one of you out of your belly. John 7:37, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. You don't have to depend upon anybody. Jesus, by the Apostle John, the Beloved, said that you have the unction. You have no need that man teach you. You have the unction. You have the ability to hear from God. So that in that prophetic flow, we recorded every bit of it. And every once in a while, we go back and listen to it to see if there's something that we've missed or that we need to pick up on. Because God's Word, it may be right now. It may be in a week. It may be in a year. It may be in 20 years. It never falls. It never fails. It comes to pass. And so that's why some people, they give up too quick on the Word of God. And they say, that was false. And so I'm not going to receive it. And that's why I want to encourage you, don't be afraid to say what God says. You don't have to see the fruit of it. You just have to be faithful in doing what God called you to do. Amen? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your Spirit. I thank you for your presence. We recognize and realize that we're in awe of you right now, of what you're saying and what you're calling us to do, but we know that we have been equipped. And Lord, I know that there's questions that's going across the buds of people's minds right now. What if? How? All of these things. But Lord, we're going to ask by your Spirit that every question be answered. And we know that the only way that we can hear the answer if we steal the words of doubt. So in the name of Jesus, we use that authority, that name above all other names, and we say, every spirit of doubt be quieted, be still. And Lord, I ask that you would just instill this same vision, this same understanding into every person. And tonight, help us to be in the place where we're hearing the sound of abundance of rain, and help us speak it out. Help us see dead things come together and come alive. Because you have gave us a vision of it, a promise of it, a hope of it. Lord, whether it's lost loved ones, lost friends, whether it's someone that we don't even know that you would just move upon us to pray for. Lord, we've seen it happen, and we've seen them come to you because of it. Lord, we want to yield to you and allow that to be real tonight. Touch and draw. Help us to yield to you in every way, Father, we ask you, in faith, believing, but also eagerly saying we'll do what you tell us to do. In Jesus' name. Would you come tonight and make yourself an altar and say, Lord, here I am. I see that I have a great appointment with destiny. I see that my life isn't just caught up in with eating and sleeping and working and all of those things. That my life has an effect on the eternity. More than just me, but all of those that I can touch. And I want to be used by you. I want to prophesy by the power of the wind. I want to see people be opened up and come out of Egypt, out of bondage. And I want to see the enemy shut off and drowned out of their life. Would you come tonight and say, Lord, I want to be used by you. And I want to see what you would have for me. And I want to get a clear grasp of it. I want to hide this word in my heart. Would you come? Would you come and make you an altar? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for every person. Thank you for every person.